knowledge and detachment, realizes our absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Sruti. Translation with repetition. The seriously inquisitive student. Purport. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence. Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees, who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, in other words, the paths of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Sruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. There are three classes of devotees, namely first, second, and third class. The third class devotees are the neophytes. Class devotees or the neophytes have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshipping the deity in the temple. They are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional life, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee, and thus become eligible to know the Absolute Truth. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavat. The number one, the Bhagavata, is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. The third class devotee, therefore, has to go to the personality of Godhead, personality of devotee, in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Sukadeva Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the movement of devotional service for the all-round benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authority. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing. So one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy messages of Godhead as included in the Bhagavad, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly transcendental subjects. But even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils milk simply by the touch of his tongue. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, or Pancharatra, authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee by assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures. One can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the first canto, second chapter, 12 texts in the matter of divinity and divine service. Om Tat Sat.
How long are you here? You'll be here all day. So they.
So this is one of the most important verses of the Bhagavatam. Before we discuss it, we'll say our pranam. Oma gyanat nirandasya gyanan jana salakaya chakshusha miram dena tasmai singhirave namaha. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna vistaya bhutale simate bhakti vedanta swamini dinamane namaste sarasati deve goravani pachanine nivisesha sanyavani prasadine sitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sya Taita Gurādharo Siva Sarigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Mevanaya Krishna Krishna Deja Namani Gaita Shema Namo Maha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamati Yajat Mukhaturoti Vachalam Pangur Langaya Tegiri Yat Kipatam Anubande Sri Guru Nirataridam Padamanam Namadavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. Inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Sruti. The previous verse was, learned transcendentalists to know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Brahmeti Paramatma, Iti Bhagavan, Iti Sabhyate. So we realize this absolute truth by what process? What is the process we realize it by? Do these boys know English? You know English? How many people don't know English here? We got needs. You know English? You need a translation? Who can translate for these two devotees that don't know? They can sit there in the back by the book counter. someone can translate for them. What is the process to realize the absolute truth by? Who can say it? By rendering devotional service. Very good. Is it written down there? English? This is Sanskrit. So, why nobody could answer? It says here, by rendering devotional service. Everyone's tired from last night. Where do you hear about devotional service? Whoa! From the, where? Let's get a little more detail. Where do you hear the Vedanta Sutta from? What did he read in the purport? Huh? The Bhagavatam. There's two kinds of Bhagavatams. What are the two kinds of Bhagavatams? The person and the book. Is there any difference between the person and the book? Who can be a person Bhagavat? How much you have to pay him? Who knows? Who can be a person Bhagavat? How much you have to pay him to become a person Bhagavat? Huh? Right. No professional men. If you have to pay him, then he can't be a personal Bhagavat. He has to not be a professional man. Of course, you can pay his airfare. So, there are three classes of devotees mentioned here. First, second, and third. So the first class is the full person Bhagavat. And the third class are the devotees who go to temple and pray to Lord, but they basically are fully absorbed in the material side of life. As far as they're concerned, you go to the Lord to solve your material problems. Most of the people are like that. There are so many devotees in the world of Krishna, the Lord, there's so many people going to their temples. But most of them, they're asking for material benediction, isn't it? I've got this problem or that problem, or I need this thing or I need that thing. I want Om Shanti, I want peace of mind. People aren't going with their problems to the Lord. This is natural. But this is still considered a third class devotee. The second class devotee is someone who is going to the Lord to serve the Lord. Wants to please the Lord. But may not have so much knowledge. But he has the right attitude and the right understanding that we should serve the Lord. And he's fixed in that faith that by serving the Lord, I will achieve all the desired results. Sometimes the second class devotee doesn't know exactly why should do those things. The first class devotee has got a broader knowledge and is better information. So doesn't get bewildered about why we should do such things. So it's an interesting point here that in the purport Prabhupada explains. The third class devotee has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavad. Has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. The way we learn devotional service is one devotee learns from another devotee. This is a secret. One person teaches another person. When Lord Chaitanya went traveling in South India, everywhere he went, he told the people that they should take up Krishna consciousness. Told them they should what? What did he tell them they should do? What was one of the things he told them? They had to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These principles that are mentioned in this verse, the principles of Lord Chaitanya spread the Krishna conscious movement, are the principles that we use in our congregational preaching. Nowadays, in the congregational preaching, we are also trying to step up the efficiency and the effectiveness and the benefit that the members get from our programs. So the first thing is that everyone needs to learn so many things about devotional service. So many teachings of devotional service are available to us. In order to learn those things, we have to learn from a devotee. Now, if we can directly learn from the person Bhagavad, or we can learn from the representative of the person Bhagavad, from another devotee who's learned from a devotee who's learned from the devotee personality. It's like a param for our system. So we learn in this way also. Prabhupada, he was not able, he trained out some devotees and then he told those devotees to train other devotees and who would in turn be trained to train other devotees. Just like Lord Chaitanya would train someone in his short visit to their house and tell them to train out others. So Lord Chaitanya gave the order that everyone should accept Krishna consciousness. And what else he said? What else they should do? They should accept it, practice it, and what else? They should preach it to others. They should tell it to others, give it to others. So, we are trying to institutionalize this process. Lord Chaitanya said, whatever you get, you should give it to others. That's also one of the best ways of learning. They tell you if you want to learn something, as soon as you learn it, you hear it, use it, then it stays in your mind. Like if you learn a language in your school, but you don't use it, you forget it, isn't it? If you learn Bhasha and use it, then you'll forget, remember it. But if you don't use it, then you won't remember. So like that with devotional service. So one system is that, you see, for the devotees who are doing the book distribution and going out, they often get opportunity to tell other people. A lot of our congregational members, they hear their class and then they go back to their home and they may not tell anybody. So after a while they forget. So So we have a special program where the congregational member can also meet in smaller groups with other congregational members, and they can discuss the topics of Krishna consciousness and help to train the older devotees, help the younger devotees. This is a system that's used. Now there are other religions using these systems and they're getting good benefit, but we're not trying to imitate other religions as such. This is our system. This is a system recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think somehow the other religions have found out this primordial, eternal system to some extent, and they're using it and getting good results. It's our system, but we're not using it. Not that we're taking actually ideas from others so much as we're taking our own ideas and seeing that someone else put them to practice but we didn't. And they're putting the practice to that extent, they're getting good results. We'll be discussing these things later today. The idea is that we want every person who's an active part of the Krishna conscious movement to be trained, to grow spiritually, to be able to represent Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever they know, they should be able to hand it on to another. Say there's a nuclear war and there's only three of you left. VM is the only center in the world survived by some quirk of fate. Everywhere else got destroyed. You are the only people in the world left of Krishna consciousness. Maharaj is like, oh no. He was wishing it was Tilak Intan, right?
Because it was called Outbreak, how the whole world, some disease for which there is no cure broke out, and only two people in the world had the cure. And the government actually had the cure also, but the government wasn't releasing the cure because they wanted it, didn't want to release it. It was a secret weapon that got leaked out. So instead they were thinking to blow up the whole village that had infected rather than cure them and release the cure. Something like that. I don't know. But these two people, they had the cure. They knew that these people could be cured from this disease. So what was interesting to me was everybody has got this disease of Maya. But somehow a few devotees in the world, they know the cure. They have got the cure, but the people don't even know they have the disease. They don't even know there's a cure for it. It makes it more. See, those people, they knew they had a disease. They're all dying and vomiting blood and all kinds of horrible things. But here, people, they don't know they have the disease. They're all dying, but they don't know that there's a cure for that. They don't know that if you practice Krishna consciousness, you don't have to take rebirth again. You can go back to Krishna. All the suffering that they're going through, they don't have to go through so much suffering if they become advanced in Krishna consciousness. But the Krishna conscious devotees, they're the only ones that got the cure. They can save all these people. Every one of you has got the cure, the antidote for this disease. But part of the disease is that makes the brain demented. And the person doesn't think he has the disease. It's like some fevers make you delirious. You don't know what you're saying. You can say like that. This kind of Maya disease makes the people illusion. So they don't think they have a disease. They think this is all right. To die is okay. So this is the illusion. So it's a tough job. You're the only people in the world, you got this cure, you can cure these people from the sure death, save the whole human race, save the whole Malaysia. All you have to do is give them the medicine. But they don't think they're sick. And that's actually the reality of things, you know, it's not maybe they dramatize it in the movies and stuff, but this is actually what's happening today. Is that people, there's a cure for their material disease, and you have the cure. And it's up to you how many people in your lifetime you can bring to Krishna. If you can bring even one person to Krishna, you get a free ticket yourself. But one devotee can make how many devotees? Is there any limit? One person may be able to bring one a year. He lives 70 years, 50 as a devotee. I mean 50 in the life. Two a year. Five a year. How many you can bring in 1 year? Maharaj watching his clock. Because Maharaj can bring in minutes, he doesn't need years. Actually, we can bring more people. We can bring more people if we get more together. More organized. If we give more energy for bringing people, especially not giving energy for fighting with ourselves. This is the biggest problem. If we use our energy and having misunderstandings. Misunderstandings and marriage problems. These are the two big time eaters. If we you just have happy marriage and preach Hari Bol. Or if all the misunderstanding could be solved in a very easy way without wasting too much time, then progress is very easy. But then we also need to know the system. There are many systems how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami said you can talk to people individually, you can talk to people in small groups, and you can talk to people in a big class. So there's three types of preaching as mentioned by Rupa Goswami and the Nectar of Devotion. So it's not a new thing. So we use individual preaching and we use the big group. Like we have Rath Yatra or these big classes. The small group is one thing which we have not utilized. Talking to people in small groups. But Rupa Goswami said you can talk in this individually, small group, or the big gathering. But if a person has made a firm commitment to be a Maya, you can't change their mind. Devotional service is a voluntary process. We have to want to be Krishna conscious. If somebody has decided, I want to be a Maya, then you can't wake them up, because you can't wake up somebody who's not asleep. Someone's pretending they're asleep, but they're not asleep. How can you wake them up? Like sometimes a child doesn't want to go to school, so he covers the head with a blanket, and the mother says, time to get up. He's actually already awake, but he's playing asleep. So you won't aware, respond to that. Well, when we're actually asleep, we can be woken up. I think there are plenty of people who are asleep, want to get waken up, and people who are waking up, although there are sometimes people who want to fall asleep again. They decide they want to enjoy some material thing which they are not supposed to do in Krishna consciousness, and they become so attached to that that they decide better to not be Krishna conscious so I can be in Maya and enjoy. And then they play as if they're in Maya for a while so they can enjoy it. And they get kicked by Maya, and then they come back to Krishna and say, please forgive me for my mistake. So we can help the people who are asleep or who are awaking. But if somebody wants to be in Maya, then Maya has her reformatory school. Rehabilitation program. It's called the School of Hard Knocks. The school of getting kicked in the head, which we are unhappy about. But that's one category that's very hard to save, those who don't want to be saved, but know about it. There are many that don't want to be saved, but they don't know about it. They're asleep. They can be woken up. We have to become expert how to wake up people. But since people don't know that they are sick, or they might think that they know the solution, which is something else, you have to be very expert how to present Krishna consciousness to them. Prabhupada wrote a letter to one Sukadev Das, temple president of Seattle. And he said that we need to have some university students to become our devotees, because we need some leaders. So more intelligent people can be good leaders in the future. Otherwise we'll have a leadership crisis. So you should go in the university and preach, but if you preach to university students, then you cannot just preach to them. They have to shave off their hair and they have to follow so many rules and regulations and everything. What you should do is rather engage them the way they like to be engaged. Have them do the things that they like to do. Don't push them too much on the rules and regulations and shaving off or joining the temple prematurely. If they like to do drama, let them do drama. If they like to do some accounting or some service for the temple, whatever, let them do the activities they like to do. And gradually let them come and hear the classes, let them hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In this way, they themselves will start to think, oh, these people are very nice, they're not pushing me so much to just shave up, go out in a sankirtan. They're letting me do my studies, and at the same time, it's a very nice philosophy. And gradually they come to understand that, yeah, this is really their purpose of life. I want to practice Krishna consciousness my whole life. And some of them may also join the temple. Or some of them may remain in their occupations, but they'll practice Krishna consciousness their whole life. So, in this way we can get the Prabhupada said this is a very careful way you have to preach to intellectual people. Intelligent people, you can't just force them. They have to come and understand it by their own understanding, their own intelligence. Then they can take it up. So, sometimes we have to do that form of preaching, and congregational preaching is mainly like that. Because we're not telling people that they have to leave their job or leave their family or leave their studies. We're preaching to them that they should practice in their home or practice while they're studying. You see? In fact, in India now, we used to just preach the students to join the temple. But now we're keeping the students inside the universities because we find if we take them out, then we cannot preach in the university anymore. The authorities become angry with us, the parents become angry. Instead, we use the students to preach to other students. We say, this is your sacrifice. You have to finish your college, your university. And while you're there, you preach. The temple president of Bangalore now, Madhu Pandit Das, he was ready to join the temple at his third year. But he studied for the final year. He said, that year I did a minimum study to get my degree. And I did maximum, I was simply preaching. He made 13 devotees in the university before graduating. 13 people are now in the Krishna conscious movement, initiated devotees. Presidents and vice presidents and leaders of different temples and programs. We thought, I'm going to be more effective. I have so many friends. I don't want to be the only one to go to Krishna, and they should all be in Maya. So that year, we just cultivated those friends and brought them to Krishna consciousness also. Now, some of them are working outside also, not that they all join the temple, but they're already, like one Jagat Chandra, he's got some business in South India, but he's also designed. To some degree, he is the architect that has gave some of the ideas for the Bangalore temple. So, in this way, we can utilize opportunities we get to preach. So somebody is working in a business, they're working in a company, they think, how many of these people I could bring to Krishna? How many I can save? So this is how Christians who are preaching, they call evangelizing. This is how they think. They say every person has got a circle of friends. An average person has got about 22 friends. They figured it out. And a person who's got limited, has only got about 9 friends, who's an introvert. And so someone who's really got problems, psychotic or something, they got about 4 or 5 friends, maybe 4 friends, and one of them is a dead cat that they're still talking to in the night. So most people have about 22 or 21 friends, relatives that they are intimately related with. Maybe of that, half are intimate and half are... People don't know so many people that, you know, as an intimate circle. Maybe in there there's a... But about 20 or so they know. So, they say that when you meet a person, you should not see that person as an individual. You should see that person as a doorway to his other 20 friends. That's how they train their followers. So when you go to preach to someone in the house, don't just talk to the person. Meet the husband, if it's a woman, if it's a man, meet the wife, meet the children, meet the uncle, meet the grandmother, meet everybody. Maybe the uncle's better than the son, the nephew. Maybe the wife is better than the husband. And if you just preach to one, then everyone else thinks that these people are trying to take away our husband, take away our wife, take away our uncle, and they may also get, they may obstruct your preaching, thinking that why they're only preaching to this person, they want to take him away from us. So you just talk to all the people. This is how they train their people. As a minister for congregational preaching, I'm supposed to study the techniques of other religions, how they're spreading their congregation. Well, it's kind of interesting because, I mean, they do it in a very methodical, systematic way. They write huge books on it, techniques and all that. And Lord Chaitanya, just in a few words, he says the same thing. He told the Kurma Brahmana, you preach to your family members, you preach to your neighbor, you deliver your whole neighborhood, your whole land here, make everybody Krishna conscious. Jari Dako, Tariko, Krishna Padesh. Wherever you go, wherever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya didn't say, just tell the good people. He told everyone. So you tell everyone about Krishna. Jari Dako, Tariko. Whoever you meet, whoever you see, you tell them Krishna's message. Krishna Padesh. What is the message of Krishna? So we are not that we only select a few, we tell everyone. Who actually takes it? That's their own personal desire, our ability to explain the things and their own personal desire. The other factor is that everybody wants association. So in Krishna consciousness, we need association. Right, Maharaj? Right? Everyone wants association. So people are having Maya association and some people are having Krishna consciousness association. So what happens is that when a person is going from the Maya association to the Krishna conscious association, there's like a kind of a period where they have so many material friends and now they're making new friends in the devotees, but they have not fully made so many devotee friends. And they're like, but already because they're changing their values, they used to go to the do all kinds of sinful things and now they stop doing that and they're chanting and they're doing more devotional things. So the old friends are feeling rejected by them. But they're not fully integrated in the new group yet of devotees. So they're like in a limbo state. They're feeling bad because they can't be with their old friends because somehow it doesn't work so nicely. At the same time, they're not fully accepted by the devotees. So we need to bring the people quickly into the association of devotees and make them have a very active way of associating. In a big group, that's not association. Coming in the class and just hearing the class, you don't get the association so much. After the class, when you go and take prasadam and talk with each other, but usually the devotees, you see that when they go take prasad, they're not talking. The devotees like to serve prasad. The poor new people that come, they may not have anyone talk to them. Because the devotees are busy showing down. Mahaprasade Govinde, right? Nam Brahmani Vaishnave. So here the people, they're interested in Krishna consciousness. They're losing all their friends. They're losing everyone. Because why don't you come with us and see Golden Eye, cinema or something, you know? Well, I wanted to go to the temple. What? Why do you want to do that? You know, why don't you go play golf with us, or tennis, or this or that? So, they find it very hard But if they have a nice group of devotees they're with, so that's where they sometimes in this small group we want to try this out, that this may give them a better association. We find that small temples, when they're very small, they seem to work nicely. Everyone cooperate. When they get bigger, then it's a different kind of a situation. You have to departmentalize, and one person may not know another. In Mayapur, someone might be there and say, oh, when did this person come? It's all about 3 months ago. I didn't see. Well, it's like that. It's such a big place. Someone can be there 3 months and you won't see. And some people there, and nobody cares for them. We have to figure out how to use this in our very big temple like Mayapur, having the small groups also. But we need to help people to get from Maya association to Krishna conscious association. One thing is devotees should take their time. Some places and some temples, the devotees take prasadam first, before the public program. So that when the guests come, they'll be free to just talk to the guests. They won't be all anxious about their eating. They already ate, you know. They can just sit there and talk while the others are eating and preach. If there's no devotee willing to sacrifice his prasad, that's for sure. So either they have to eat quick. In fact, the first time I came to the temple, I didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. I just saw a sign and in the about Rath Yatra in San Francisco at the bottom. It said you can get prasadam, you can get vegetarian food for 25 cents. And I went and, because I was a vegetarian, I thought this is interesting, I'll find out about this festival and I'll go and get prasad. So that's the first time I finally could get to the movement. I was looking for a guru. I was going to go to India to find a guru, then I saw that sign and I said, well, let me go there and see what's going on. So I came in and it was prasadam time. And nobody, they said, oh, hello, come here, sit down. And everybody just served prasad and ate, and nobody even said a word to me. They're all, you know, and I thought, you know, this is maybe survival of the fittest or something. It was nice food, you know, and even after everyone got up and all walked up, and I had my 25 cents to pay also for the, but no one even asked me for it. Nobody said, I just said, finally, I was looking who would take my 25 cents, and then I went and I found this devotee called Garga Muni. And I asked him, he said, no, yeah, I'll take it. He's a devotee, a bit famous for the business mentality. He's now selling things in America. He comes from a Jewish background. And then immediately he told me, he said, come, I have a boutique next door. So I was... you know, somehow, one devotee had kindness on me and started to talk to me. Otherwise, nobody was talking, you know, it was hard. I came, you know, it was like, you want to know about Krishna consciousness. Our whole purpose is to tell people about, but we're so busy that we don't actually tell people. And that's where the congregational preaching can be a much better means, because everybody is focused on helping all the new guests and helping the people. And this is the principle mentioned in this verse. If you want to know about Krishna consciousness, we have to learn from the person, the Bhagavad. Since our gurus are always traveling, there are so many people to preach, the whole world is there to preach to, and there's so few gurus are there, so the disciples of the guru, Prabhupada had mentioned, that there's a sannyasi guru who travels all over the world and all over preaching, and he has householder disciples. So the householder disciple also has to preach from his house and invite people into his home or her home, and invite the people into the home and preach to them in the way that they can preach, by having kirtans and programs.
And this way you can help the sannyasi guru by practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness from the home. So anyway, with these words, I'll end the class here. Otherwise, we're going to go over, isn't it, Maharaj? We're already over time. Any questions? Yes? Yogis and devotees. There's three classes of transcendentalists mentioned here. First, second, and third. The third class transcendentalists are the jnanis. The second class are the yogis. And the first class are the devotees. Because the yogis only realize Paramatma. They don't realize Bhagavan. And the mayavadis only realize the impersonal Brahmajyoti. And the devotees, who do they realize? Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. So devotees are considered the first class transcendentalists. Of course, they're also yogis. All the three are yogis, but the mystic yogis are usually just called yogis for short, but we are called bhakti yogis. Devotees are called bhakti yogis. And the jnanis, they're also jnana yogis, but they're normally known as jnanis. Of course, each yoga thinks that they're the best. Because they only know the limit of their knowledge. The jnanis think that the bhaktas are sentimentalists. Actually, if we see objectively, we're not just saying we're best because we want to say like that, but we're saying based on knowledge that there's a more complete realization. The devotee realized the super soul and the Brahmajyoti and the personality of Godhead. Where the jnanis only realize the Brahmajyoti. They don't realize the super soul or Bhagavan. And the yogis only realize the Bhagavan, the Paramatma and the Brahmajyoti. They don't realize Bhagavan. But the devotee realizes all three. Therefore we say it's more complete because it's more complete. Not just because we're saying it. I mean, we were discussing yesterday, every religion is saying they're the only way. It's a big problem. That we don't say we're the only way to realize God. We say that we're the complete way, first class way. But you can also realize God partially by the yoga system or by the impersonal system. You can get some partial realization of God. But to actually realize God fully, you have to use devotional service. You can realize God partially by other means. And every religion uses these aspects of karma, jnana, yoga, or bhakti to different degrees. The Buddhists use jnana and yoga. And in Thailand, they use the bhakti in the sense of worshipping Buddha and everything. But because they don't believe in God, you can't really say it's the bhakti. But some people, they take Buddha like God. They don't know the philosophy so well. So at least the reflections of these different processes are used by all religions. The Christians use karma kanda, and they use a little bit of bhakti. But they don't use yoga. I don't think they use much yoga. It's mainly bhakti and karma mix. Maybe a little gan. So every religion is using different aspects of these processes, and we accept that they may get some degrees of success. But if you want to actually realize God, we're the only person that even offers that. What religion is offering you can realize God face to face? Most religions don't even say God has a face. mean, there's a major religion in this country that doesn't believe that God has a face. But we're saying you can see Him face to face. So, and even a religion like Christianity says God is a person, God is the Father. But they don't talk about meeting God. Sometimes they talk about meeting Jesus, Son of God, but they don't talk about God. So that's why Prabhupada, he said that he's not trying to convert people, but he considers Krishna consciousness to be postgraduate. He's trying to graduate people. Give them postgraduate degree. Whatever they learn, it's okay. We can use that as a fundamental foundation. But now to take them into postgraduate study and actually come into God consciousness, from a mundane religion. This is a transcendental, postgraduate study. So there's no have to actually reject your previous religion. You just graduate from it and go on to postgraduate study. It's a bit different. We're not asking people to convert. We're asking people to graduate into Krishna consciousness. There's a much more positive outlook. We respect all the religions. It's a fundamental, having fundamental truths. And Krishna consciousness is a very complete, the complete way of achieving the absolute truths, full realization. As confirmed in this verse, so if you want to realize the absolute truths in their full feature, then you need to practice devotional service according to the Shastras, the Vedanta Shruti, the Bhagavad. Any other question? Going? Gone. Hare Krishna.